Good evening, everyone. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36 tonight. O God, be glorified in me. O God, be glorified in me. He has just gone through 10 chapters in describing that there's none righteous, no, not one, and how you can be righteous before God, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. And then he has a moment of reflection on the glory of God in Christ, the glory of God displayed in Jesus Christ. And so Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. Can you read it out loud with me, please? Romans 11, 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we come to you through Christ. We ask you to lift our hearts and our minds to you, dear Lord. We hear of people speaking of blessing, and they don't even mention Christ. Something's drastically wrong when we don't mention our most precious gift or the highest and most precious price for our salvation, the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Help us to know what we have, dear Lord, more and more, day by day, moment by moment. To rely upon you, to know that all things come of your hand, and that we are coming to you one day. You will call us to yourself, and we will come. Thank you so much for that, dear Lord. New heaven and a new earth coming our way. One where there dwells righteousness and no unrighteousness. Where everything's pure and nothing is impure can enter there. Nothing undefiled can come to that place. Oh, Lord, it's hard to imagine, but we're so looking forward to that. For us, death, dear Lord, the believer, is a gain. And we need to live that way, dear Lord, that we're going to our gain. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Thank you so much, dear Lord. Give us the eternal perspective as we study your word tonight and go through the rest of this week, moment by moment, walking with you in Jesus' name. Amen. John, would you turn it down just a little bit, please? I'm bouncing off a little bit. Okay, thank you, sir. You can't hear it yet. It'll be...
I can hear when you talk like that.
Yeah. You want to sit right here? You could... Because it'll feed back on me if it gets a little louder. It's right at the edge. That's good enough. I think that's fine. Okay. God does everything he does to display his own glory. This is on our paper here. Let's follow along. Read if you will. God does everything he does to display his own glory. He saves us from sin by displaying the glory and power of his grace over all our sins. By the way, what is greater than all our sins in the Bible? What is it? It's grace. Grace, the glory of his grace. Grace is greater than all our sins. Think about that. God's grace, greater than anything you could ever do that he's not happy with. I really like that. I really like that a lot. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He won't kick us out. He'll just draw us to himself. And the more he draws us to himself, the farther away we realize we are. it's not. The greater he draws us to himself, the more we think, boy, we're really doing a fine job. You don't find that in historical narratives. The men and women that wanted to walk close to God, they realize, boy, there's a lot of room for improvement here. And they weren't afraid of it. And they encouraged others to know God that way. Because you showed me your glory, Moses prayed on that basis, Lord, you showed me your glory, therefore I want to see more. Because I've seen the beauty of the Lord, I want to see more of his beauty. We shall see the great King in his beauty, somebody wrote in a song, when we come to the end of our days. Wonderful. Now we'll continue reading on our papers. Got a little sidetracked there with joy in the Lord. God does everything he does to display his own glory. He saves us from sin by displaying the glory and power of his grace over all our sins. He overcomes our evil hearts with the goodness of his heart. What rises up in our hearts that's evil at times? Anybody? It's called unbelief. We're all attacked with that. As we focus on his amazing grace and the glory of who he is, he begins to transform us once again into the glorious likeness of his dear son, Jesus. We battle the unbelief that rises in our hearts. That's the evil. It arises at times by a renewed belief in God. That's how you fight it. We battle the unbelief that rises in our hearts at times by a renewed belief in God. God is worthy of being trusted both now and forever, and all God's people say, amen. He's worthy to be trusted. The alternatives to trusting in God are trusting in ourselves. Who wants to do that? That doesn't last too long, does it? Do you want to trust in the world take care of you? I don't think so. How about the flesh? Go along with the currents? I don't think so. How about the devil? That's the other one who's behind those two. I don't think you want to trust him. No. So we need to trust the Lord over and over again. Notice these three main points tonight out of Romans 11. It tells us that everything is of him. This is in verse 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, all created things. Whether they're visible or invisible, that's what that means, the purpose of them. But let's look at the first one, of him. This is the source. Because God is the source of all things, we ought to praise, offer praise of God as our Creator and Savior. He's the source. It's mentioned many times in the Bible, provider, protector, the stream of living water that we're to drink from continually. So he's the source. He is life. He's the source of life. And then the second one, a point that he's making here after this meditation on how God would save sinners and be righteous and just at the same time to do it, and why did he choose the nation of Israel and Abraham, and how the law come in and now this. That's what Romans 11 is all about. Salvation, it's very close to you. It's right in your mouth. It's close to your heart. All you have to do is say it and believe it, because the word of truth is very nigh you, very close to you. Believe it in your heart and you'll be saved. That's how close it is. So this is praise. This is a settled statement where he's now praising, he's reviewing, he's enjoying God and what God has done. He's meditating. How many of you ever read the book of Romans in one setting? Be a very good thing to do. 16 chapters. Casually reading, about 3 hours. Now, watch the basketball game. When was that? Oh, well, that doesn't count. I watched part of it, so. But I realized the whole thing lasted 3 hours. You know, this NCAA madness and March Madness and all that? That's a long time to watch a sport, even if you like it. Yes or no? So I'm just thinking, you know, the same amount of time. Not, if you enjoy that stuff, that's fine. Once a year, all that, you know. If you get an opportunity to go hunting and spend half a day or a day, go and enjoy it. We're not talking about just legality, don't enjoy it. No, we're not talking about that. I'm just saying by means of measurement, you can read the book of Romans in 3 hours. And I got to tell you, it'd be rewarding to get to it. So the real force of getting into Romans chapter 11 then would be to read the first 10 chapters before you get to it. Then you have the, you know. And then notice what comes next, by the way, Romans 12, which starts off how? Why don't you present, because of God, why don't you present yourself a living sacrifice to the Lord? You're already holy, because you're holy in Christ. It's acceptable. You'll like it. Acceptable, and it's good. It'll be good to you. It's perfect for you. Christ being perfectly formed in you and you doing his will, that's perfect for you. Can't get any better than that. That's what it means. And it is the will of God. It is the will of God for all of us to conform to the image of Christ. So of him, first of all, a source word, praise of God. We ought to offer praise of God as our creator and savior. And then through him, this is a dependence word. You notice I've got three words there, source, dependence, and then glorify. This is the dependence word. Our recognized reliance on God for all things. We need to recognize that we need the Lord. Because of some change of schedules, I have volunteered myself to take Joshua and two boys and a girl to school on the mornings. Well, that kind of knocks out our prayer time that Joshua and I were doing. So, but the situation was such that change of job and someone's not going to school anymore, so therefore the ride's not there. And my wife volunteered me. Can you leave that girl? So I said, okay, well, that's fine. And so the only thing I pray the whole time for them. I think about them, what's going on in their life, and I pray for them as we're driving. You know, 20-minute, 25-minute drive. And so right at the end, right before they get out, I say this with regard to dependence. Joshua gave me a big old smile today, you know, when he got out. And I said, remember to ask the Lord to help you today because you'll be needing him. It's tough to go through life on your own. That's all I can get out. You know, some of them are doing their homework, some of them are on the phone, ding, ding, ding. You know how it goes, right? And talking about this, laughing about some things, and praising the Lord for some things on their mission trip they just went to. And they were talking about one man was there at the front, and outside the church, he had been drinking all night, and he was actually turning over in what he had drank before the night. They saw that as they were going into the reservation, to a building to meet with the children, you know, to give the gospel. That was on the outside. Can you imagine that? Right at the door, you're getting ready to go in. There's a drunk guy there, been drinking all night, and he's wallowing around us. Big trouble with the alcohol. So, the glory of God, dependence on the Lord. A friend of mine, and Dave Sweeley's. The guy's got some skill, he's got some knowledge, but every time he gets a buck, he just wants to get drunk. Moving back, he's 50 years old, living with his mom because he didn't have any money. When he gets money, he spends it. He gets drunk. And his name's Mike, and I pray that he gets saved. His name's Mike. Pray for Mike, if you will. Need to turn from that and turn to the Lord. It's a matter of reliance and dependence. You don't want to depend on those things to go through life. You want to depend upon the Lord. That's what we're talking about. What are you leaning on when you got trouble? We want to lean on the Lord. That's our privilege, to lean on the Lord. Everything's from him. Everything's through him. Everything, every blessing that we have is through the Lord. He gave it to us. He himself is the blessing. And then this last one here, he deserves what? To be glorified, right? He deserves to be glorified because of that. The purpose of God in creating all things is what? That he would be glorified in them. The purpose of God in creating you is so that he would be glorified in you. And we need to teach our children that just as soon as we can. Those of you who have grandchildren, just teach them that as soon as you can and remind them of it over and over again. So that when they're away from you, it's going to be going through their mind and their heart. God created me for his own glory. What if they say, I don't want to glorify God. God created me for his own glory. I can't get away from this. That's the promise in Proverbs. I can't get away from the truth. And by the way, who would want to get away from that truth? Who would want us to get away from the truth? The devil would. The devil's a liar, a thief. He tries to teach other religious systems so that people will move away from God. God wants to be glorified, and he's glorified in us when we believe him. Look at our next statements here. I think John asked me this one time. And John, I'm just answering a question. I think you asked me this 8 months ago. I'm as slow as I get around to it, you know. What does living by faith actually mean in terms? Well, I tried to write it out tonight. It's just a whole lot simpler than what it might be challenged in our heart and mind. Let's look at it on the papers here. Living by faith means we live as though we know God will give us grace moment by moment as each occasion calls for it. That's living by faith. Living by faith means we live as though we know God will give us grace moment by moment as each occasion calls for it. That's living by faith. He will give us what we need by grace. And he does that by salvation too. So he does it also through sanctification or holy living. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not your own strength. It's his enablement. It's a gift from God. It's not of our works, because we'd be bragging about it if it was our work. Lest any man should boast. That's what it means. Our boasting will be on the Lord. We get the help we need. He gets the glory. As we believe, he is glorified. Now, don't make this mistake. Oh, I trusted the Lord as my Savior years ago, and that's what he means by living by faith. Well, in that initial act of trusting the Lord, it was living by faith. You got life by grace through faith. You received it. But we're talking about when you're driving down the road and you're kind of tired from the day and you don't feel like really smiling about anything and pressures of life start to squeeze you here and there. That's when we're talking about living by faith. That's when we're talking about reliance upon the Lord. My brother Jess isn't sure what to do. This could get into our prayer time. He has been called by a church in South Carolina, maybe 15, 20 minutes from Bob Jones. And I looked up the population of the town. You like this one, Gary? You know what the population of the town is? 89. There's 89 people in this town. And 50 of them go to that church. That's pretty good, you know. So they're talking to him about coming and pastoring their church. That's my youngest brother who lives in Wilmington with the rest of them. That's my youngest brother, Jess. So pray for Jess, if it be the Lord's will for him to take that church as a pastor. And my first question there is, how long was the previous pastor there? Because that shows something about the people. Did you know that? Absolutely, it does. It says volumes. That means they're very gracious and allowing the minister to grow too. That's what it means, predominantly, just to let you know. And today it's 2 years in and out, you know, in many churches. And that, I hate to say Baptist too. But the previous pastor was there 12 years, and I said that's a pretty good time. So, all right. Pray for Jess, if it be the Lord's will, for him to pastor that church then. When we get the help we need, he gets the glory. As we believe, he is glorified. God doesn't need our service. Uh-oh. Well, I'm glad you said that because I'm not volunteering for anything else around here. Well, let me finish the, let me finish the sentence, please. God doesn't need our service. He needs us to yield to him so he can serve through us. That's quite different. Did everybody understand that part of it? He doesn't need our service. He needs us to yield so he can serve through us. That's life. He supplies the grace to serve. Bonnie German, she's not here tonight, but not in here. I'm not sure if she's in a nursery or whatever it might be, or kids ministry, but she gave a grand testimony on Sunday night that went right along with my message. And she said, I thank the Lord for giving me grace to do this because I know without him I wouldn't be doing it. That's living by faith. That's living by faith. Exactly. We must not rely on our own strength to satisfy God. We're saying the same thing several different ways, but we must not rely on our own strength to satisfy God. God's not glorified in our strength. He's glorified when we appropriate his strength and use that, or else we don't need God. Look at Acts 17. 25. The fact that God wants to serve the body through you ought to cause you to step up more, not step back. Ought to cause you to step up more, not step back. Acts 17:25. Let's look at verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Every now and then. So God doesn't need man to be satisfied. It's the strangest thing. Every now and then there's a children's book. Someone will, hey, can you check this out and see, you know. I like that rhyme a Bible, by the way, just to let you know. Rhyme a Bible for kids. Pictures and a white book about this thick has a biblical narratives in it and things. And it's a good reminder. I like that one. I like that one a lot. And the doctrine's correct, too, just to let you know. But every now and then, when you're reading one of these, that's important. But every now and then, when you're reading one of these children's books, they'll put in there, God created man because he was lonely. Folks, God's not lonely. God's perfectly satisfied in himself. Now, if we say that about ourselves, we got a huge pride problem, amen. That God is totally satisfied in himself. And he allowed us to enjoy that triune love and bring us into that and that satisfaction. God never has been lonely and he never will be. He's fully satisfied in himself because he's life. So think about that. So God doesn't need man to worship. We need God. Look at 1 Peter 4:11. 1 Peter 4:11. I've prayed this prayer, and I share it with you. I think you ought to pray it every day, particularly when winds of discouragement might come your way. And they do blow, don't they, on occasion, anybody? Yes or no? Okay, just let me. I pray this prayer more than anyone, prayer that I remember in the Bible, except for Lord help me. I give that one out pretty often too, amen. But I think it's the same vein. Look at 1 Peter 4:11. You see the speaking and the serving here. The two S's. Minister will be serving there. It's a word for deacon, also used in that light. Not limited to the office, by the way, just one who serves. But 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him do it of the best of his ability. I've heard that so often and it's so wrong. That's not what this verse says. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister or serve, let him do it, here it is, as of the ability which God giveth. You know why? Because God wants the glory. Now Elizabeth over here, and she's like, oh no, please get off me, Pastor, fast, don't talk. It's okay, Elizabeth. That's everybody breathe for, right? Now I tell you what, Elizabeth's got a real talent there, doesn't she, that piano? Oh man, it's just beautiful, beautiful, tickling the ivories or whatever they call it, you know. Very, very pleasant, very enjoyable. But you know, God gave it to her. I mean, that's obvious, right? Yes or no? So we get to enjoy one another's gifts that way. And therefore, I really love the local church because of that. I really love that. So we thank the Lord for that. And that's all I'm going to say, Elizabeth. Let's move on, okay? If any man speak, so, you know, you can say things that God would have you say and build people up. That's power. If any man speak, let him speak of the oracles of God, meaning the words that have come out of God's mouth. That's simply saying, preach the word, proclaim the word, give them some real help, amen. Let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Now let me just stop right there. Here would be the prayer then. Dear Lord, I'm getting ready to go out before the congregation, and I ask that you would strengthen me, that you would enable me to serve as you want me to speak as you want me to. Now, if that's your heart prayer, whether you're washing the dishes at the house, cutting grass, writing somebody a note, you're asking Christ to come through you, here's what the Bible says, right? Here's a promise. That God in all things may be, there's our word, glorified through Jesus Christ. Who gives the ability? God does. Therefore, who gets the glory? God does. To whom be praise and dominion, the absolute ruler, forever and ever, and all God's people say, amen. Let's see what we have on next page here. Yes, 2 Corinthians 4, 6 through 7. See if you can see this glory of God. This is saying the same thing I just said there, not our strength, but God's strength in us. That's night and day difference. 2 Corinthians 4, by the way, our natural strength will give out after a while. Believe me, and quick sometimes. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 through 7. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, when is that? At creation, let there be light. Hath shined in our hearts. When did that happen? At salvation. To give the light or the understanding of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where is it? It's in the face of Jesus Christ, in the presence of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, that's the gospel, in earthen vessels, that's our body. The earthen vessel is our body. For what purpose? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It wasn't our power that's on display. It's the power of God on display. And that's glorious. The church is the primary place where the glory of God is supposed to take place. Therefore, anytime there's a person teaching like there are tonight in different places, we need to be praying for those teachers because we want to see the glory of God. The giver gets the glory, and we get satisfaction in our hearts as the life of Christ flows through us to others. I like that right there. Look at that. The giver, that's God, gets the glory, and we get satisfaction in our hearts as the life of Christ flows through us to others. If you want to be a sound theologian, read Jonathan Edwards' sermons. Reading sermons? Yeah, they're in print. Reading printed sermons is a good way to grow. Jonathan Edwards, one of his sermons, The End for Which God Created the World. he said this, God, in seeking his glory, seeks the good of his creatures, because the emanation of his glory implies the happiness of his creatures. And in communicating his fullness for them, he does it for himself, because their good, which he seeks, is so much in union, in communion with himself. God is their good. Their excellency and happiness is nothing but the emanation and expression of God's glory. Wow. If you just waited long enough to realize that you are in the glory of God, in the presence of his glory through Jesus Christ, it would satisfy you. It would satisfy you. Because that's why you're created. So if we're going through life and we're just dissatisfied, maybe we're resting in the wrong stuff to try to get satisfied. It's the Lord himself that'll satisfy the heart. May this be our prayer and passion. O God, be glorified in me. Lord, we thank you again for your word tonight. Help us to draw from your great love for us, your immeasurable love, the height, the breadth, the depth, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Help us to meditate on these things, created in righteousness, true holiness. These are all in Jesus Christ. And then to, Lord, just ask, depend, draw from your strength so that you might come through us and satisfy the hearts of those who are searching, dear Lord, for that satisfaction. And it's in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Boy, we need to be reminded of that one over and over again.